your Watch Jackets fans. It's Shelly Time with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Mumu Express Car Wash, proud partner of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
All right, time for a little Shelly Time with our good buddy Jody Shelly. Look, these aren't fun conversations to have, bud. We're 1-5 in our last six. And while sometimes the play is there, the results aren't. This is a results-oriented business. What I think we can count on is that we play well against Tampa Bay, and I'm guessing we get that tonight. But big picture, and we have, by the way, we have the Riley Nash injury now. I'm just seeing now out 4-6. Big picture, you're Jarmo Kekäläinen, and you're John Tortorella. What's most important right now for this club?
Wow. That, it's a really good question. I mean, they need a centerman. This team needs a centerman. It's probably been 19 years of saying that. And, you know, they had their guy in Dubois, and he left. And that's a gaping hole. They're bringing new players that are trying to fit in, and it's not working right now. If I'm John Tortorella, I'm trying to get back to the culture that he created when he first got here. I think he wants to leave it that way. I think he wants to have an impact on these young players who will be here. If I'm Jarmo, I'm trying to get some prospects in the cupboard. That's a thin place right now for this organization, seeing what they've done the past couple of years and letting free agents, acquiring free agents that they knew weren't going to be coming back and letting them go. That hurts when you don't go get draft picks for those guys. So the covers are a little bare in that regard. But they need a center iceman. They need and they don't grow on trees. You have to give up something very good to get something very good. But, you know, this is a unique time with teams being kind of strapped with internal salary limitations, with flat salary cap, with an expansion draft coming up in the offseason. There's a lot of different factors that are going into this. No fans in the building. What are the real budgets? So you could potentially pick off a couple really good pieces, and that's what they're so good at. That's what Jarmo's so good at is. He is the guy that pulled the trigger on some big trades. You look at a couple of the key pieces that are here now. Seth Jones is the biggest one, obviously. Him getting Panarin was a big one, obviously, when we needed a game breaker. So he's not afraid to do it, but he always tries to do it what's best for now and the future, and that's his biggest challenge, I think, to date.
Well, Jody, I just love the way you say Pierre-Luc Dubois. That's probably what hurts the most of him being gone, besides the fact that he seems happy and stuff. It's just the way that you say his name. I'm sad that I don't get to hear you say it so eloquently. Look, going into this year, man, we thought it was going to be like a slam dunk. One of these goaltenders was going to be gone, and we were going to get, you know, a ransom back for one. Do you still see it that way? Do you think one of these goalies will be gone when it comes to the deadline?
Again, you know what, James? If you would have asked me a week ago, I might have said yes. But I think it's a buyer's market, and yeah. I think that these assets are lower now than they will be a year from now, an off-season from now, 6 months from now. I think that there's teams with – there's a major impact on – you know, and let's be realistic. When you are a professional team – your gravy is in the playoffs with packed buildings, past the schedule, the 82-game schedule, fans, the revenue, the excitement, the brand being raised. All that is in the playoffs when your fans are there. When they're not there, I'm wondering what teams are looking at. Do you go all in to win a Stanley Cup and set your future this year? Or do you sit and wait and say, you know what, maybe tinker here or there? I don't think you're getting a premium price for your assets right now. I really don't. And I think you have to ask high. I think that's what Jarmo's going to do. But I don't think you can settle for a third-round pick for Savard, for example, when in a real year where things are really happening and there's a buzz to make the playoffs and do things, do some excitement. Which you owe to your fans and your team. I don't know what the value's there right now. You can get a first round pick for this guy in a real, and maybe even a prospect in a real year. He's the number one player on the trade board as far as a playoff player to pick up. I don't think you can sell that short, but maybe you can. Maybe you have to just take something, but that's the balance.
It's so tricky, Jody, and it gets trickier too. And I saw Porty's piece on this in The Athletic over the weekend about Nick Foligno, who, boy, that's a man of consequence in this organization's history, in my view, mm-hmm. and in most. And it might make sense. It seems to me from the outside looking in that hockey has, the NHL and hockey in general, has a little more gentleman's agreement and a little more decorum to the way guys are handled. And Porty alluded to this. He said, you know, teams aren't even calling on Foligno because that's not something you would even do with somebody of his magnitude in terms of what he means to the organization. Is that true? And if there is going to be something like that, and I'd hate to see it, but I also understand that it's a business. What's that process like?
I don't know if that's true. I mean, Aaron Portsline does his homework. He would know if that's true, but I don't think it's true. As a player, and he would know. I mean, you know what I mean? If no one is called because of that, I get what he's saying. There's a lot of respect there. But if you're a general manager and you need a gritty guy that can play the wing or center or maybe play on your third line with some upside, maybe your second line, be the power play guy, you call on Nick Foligno. I mean, anyone that wants to do themselves and their organization a service, you call to see if you can get a piece. That's from where I sit. Listen, I'm more of a fan when it comes to those details of what happens, and a former player. I've never sat in the locker room and looked across from a guy and thought, no one's going to call on him. You know, my first year in the league, Lyle Oberlein got traded. He was our captain. And that was my first real experience with it. And I was a little surprised. But then as I grew up and I understand how it works and why Mike Sillinger played for 30 different teams, you know what I mean? He was a great centerman that everyone needed at the deadline. So, you know, the non-calling thing, I don't think it's there. I think that there's you understand as an athlete that you're available and our team's not doing well. So guess what? A better team. And you're happy for the guy. If you're his teammate, you're like, you know, go win a cup. I want to see you smiling in 2 months. And that's the personal level of it.
Yeah, Jody, what's that? So do we read too much into it with the changing of the guard as far as the – because I know how much the captain means in hockey, right? That is a thing. But like you said, you were part of a team where a captain was traded. I remember at least reading the papers when the Blues said goodbye to David Backes, and then it became Alex Pietrangelo, and now Pietrangelo is in Vegas. So but the changing of the guard, what does that do midseason? You know, like, do you just slap the C on someone else, on one of the A's? Like, what's it happen? Because usually it's a whole culture around that guy. He's the heartbeat. And so what was it like for you midseason for a guy, you know, to your captain to be dealt?
Yeah, it was strange because I was a guy that in your first year in the league, much like you too, I'm sure, everything is shiny and bright and everything is just, I mean, everything is like a birthday every day. You know what I mean?
The business hasn't hit you yet.
This is a celebration. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you go to bed with a smile on your face, you get up. Doesn't matter what happens. Like, I had lunch with Lyle Oberlein today or Jeff Sanderson, you know, we talked. I mean, I call my parents and be like, this is amazing. And then all of a sudden the captain gets traded. And then you realize it kind of hits you like this is a business. This is like it's kind of like a somber feeling. And out of respect for him, you don't give the captain to anyone else. I mean, you hold on to that. That's a major to show respect for a guy like Nick. You hold that, and that you magnify that as saying no. This is the man that just left here represented a lot more than what anybody knows in this town. You know what I mean? And then it's time for someone to have it maybe a little later, but. It's strange. It really is cold water in your face when it comes to understanding that it is a business. But then there's an excitement too of saying, okay, what's next? I mean, I think that's the reality of professional sports. You do turn the page quickly. You won't turn the page quickly on Nick and Janelle Foligno if they get traded. And you never know. Maybe they get traded for an offseason run and come back. We've seen that before. There's that kind of connection with this community.
Yeah, we have seen that before as well. It stinks that we're talking about this type of stuff, but it's the reality of it. Jode, appreciate your time, my friend, as always, and look forward to the game tonight.
All right, should be good, guys. We'll see what happens, but this team just needs a win, and Tampa's not playing well. So I appreciate your time. We'll talk to you guys on, Thursday. I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Yep, very good. The great Jody Shelley with a little bit of Shelley time. Yeah, I mean, if you're hanging on to a thread, then, you know, you can't get any more must win, and honestly, it's probably too late for that. to be honest. You're probably too late for that in terms of the big best interest of the organization long term. And I think he brought up something else really smart with the idea of usually there is gravy in the postseason in terms of packed houses. There won't be that. So it won't be you're not going to be taking quite the hit by not making the playoffs that you would have in a normal year. That was a very, very good point out of Jody right there.